Brooklyn.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yes, no.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, my ding-a-ling.
Took me to grammar school, but I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah. Ain't nobody gonna knock it, darling. Mm-mm. Yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. There's one guy right over here singing mine, too. That's all right, brother. Yes, sir. You got a right, baby. Ain't nobody gonna bother you. Okay. Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. I fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my ding-a-ling. Your parliament out there singing? Oh yeah! Once I was swimming across Turtle Creek, man, them snappers all around my feet. Sure was hard swimming across that thing with both hands holding my baby.
We are Dave and Giggles. Oh, man. So, Giggles is not with us at the moment. No, he's okay. He's all right. He is at a job. He's doing a photography shoot for some wedding or some high school. I'm not quite sure. Hopefully, maybe he'll call in. Maybe he'll say hello. But coming up, we have quite a special guest. She's a really good friend of the show. She's called multiple times, has told us about the movie she's making, her life, her documentaries. She's an amazing woman, and it's always a thrill to talk to her. She should be calling any minute, but her name is Catherine Brooks, and we will be talking to her about her new movie. I think that's her, Lost in Time. So let's check in. Kat!
Let's check in. What's up?
What's happening, kid? Long time no talk.
It's been way too long, dude.
Way too long. I know. I reach out for you every once in a while, and I figured if I don't hear from you, you are knee deep in it. So I figure I'd give you light leeway and then check in with you a couple months later and see how you're doing. But then we finally get you on the show, which is awesome. So welcome, Kat.
Well, I have been lost in time, but now I'm on your time. So.
I love it. You down in Louisiana right now?
I am. I am farm living.
Yeah? How's the farm living down there going?
Well, you know, it's edit room at night, farm living during the day, and taking care of 5 acres and finishing a film is...
it's a lot. What kind of animals you got down there?
Let's see, 8 dogs.
Okay.
A cat who thinks it's a mother to some baby quail eggs.
Perfect.
2 horses. And 4 chickens.
Two horses.
Built a coop for.
And 4 chickens. So no roosters?
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
No.
Hell no.
No.
I do not do that. But down the road, we have a very confused rooster who seems to not know that it's supposed to only cock-a-doodle-doo at, like, I don't know, like sun up.
Sure, and sun up.
At 1 a.m. when I'm editing, that's kind of
so
what
he's,
I'm hearing,
he's special. So. He's a special rooster.
He's a special cock.
That's a good way to put it, Kat. It's a good way to put it. So, unfortunately, Giggle sends his love. He had a photo shoot he had to go do, so he wasn't able to make it. So he sends his love, but we are in it. So let's get down to it. First off, I got a question for you, and it doesn't have anything to do with you. We'll get to you in a second. It's a question I had. I've been like on and off talking to people about, but now that Chuck Berry, one of the the godfathers of rock and roll, has died. Here's my question: can you? Because like Chuck Berry, he was the godfather of rock and roll. He kind of invented it, but he also did some pretty bad things, right?
Okay.
So here's my question to you: can you like disassociate the art? Like talking to a filmmaker, can you disassociate the artist from the art that they create? Like, is there, can you, like, take the two and say, this is one thing and this is the other?
Ooh.
It's a tough question.
God, I love your depth. I mean, you are just coming at it hard.
Coming
right
at it hard.
The bat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question that I ask a lot of people, and I never really get, like, a definitive answer. They're always like, in some cases, yes, in some cases, no. It depends on what they did. It depends on, like, their art that they're making and stuff like that. But, I mean, I feel like if you're going to do it, you have to do it across the board. You can't just say, well, Mel Gibson I wouldn't do it for, but Woody Allen I would. You know, like, you got to kind of do it across the board if you're going to do it, I feel. Maybe not. I would love to hear your take being an artist and being around a lot of artists yourself.
Well, is it about the artist or is it about the I don't know, the person who's receiving the art and their morals and their integrity and how they feel about it? Because, like, as an artist, I mean, it's a reflection. If it's authentic, which is art,
sure.
Otherwise you're just a piece of machinery making a product.
Which nobody wants to be that.
That's not why I left Los Angeles. But
and started a farm with no roosters.
I think it depends on what the piece is, whether it's a movie or a song or, like Mel Gibson. I mean, that was kind of like a really kind of cool example, do you ban a piece of art? Like, let's say you see a trailer,
yeah,
right, for a movie, or you hear a song and you're like, whoa, that really connects with me. And then you find out, you know, all the things that this artist did. For me, it does taint the art, because the art is the reflection of the maker of it.
True.
And so if I were to see it or hear it before I knew that this person did this kind of, you know,
terrible,
not really
thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Right.
Then it taints the integrity for me of what I've just seen or heard.
Right. The way I kind of look at it from the time to time, especially when things come up like this, where you have Chuck Berry, who will go down as this kind of godfather of rock and roll, kind of invented it, is will, you know, like, we are living in it now where he was alive. We are living through the actual man. And then I feel like as time goes on, that kind of the art will probably stand longer than the person itself. So therefore, yeah, like, the art itself will stand alone over a course of a matter of time. I'm not saying a couple years or 100 years or whatever it's going to be, if it makes it on the other side of that time. But if it makes it on the other side of that time and it goes over a long enough period, I feel like it will totally stand separate from the person, the art, and the artist, which is an interesting way of looking at it.
If it comes from a place of truth, and if it comes from truth,
sure,
and authenticity, then it will always stand. Absolutely.
Right. Then there you go. So there it is.
No matter what you've done.
we cracked the code on that. So also, yes, I want to say a big happy birthday.
Thank you.
To you. It was your birthday the other day, I believe, right? The 15th?
Yes.
Did you do anything fun?
Did I do anything fun? Yeah, I spent some time with my family.
Good.
I rode my horse, and I think I must have just laid in the grass and stared at the sky and rested. So
sounds like a lovely time.
Yeah, it was a very chill day.
That
it
sounds
was a day
like a perfect
absolute
day.
Absolute relaxation. Yeah,
sounds like a perfect day.
Yeah, all right, it was nice.
So you're down there in Louisiana. You got all these horses. You got all this stuff. What do you have your office, your editing stuff in your house, or are you going somewhere to do it?
No, I actually renovated the barn and made it into a production, kind of its own production entity.
That's pretty dope.
So, because, you know, the house, I was going to work out of the house because I didn't want to drive into New Orleans and work out of the office there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to turn, you know, a section of the house into, you know, an edit suite.
Right.
And then when it came time to do sound with 8 dogs, and
you can't do that.
A house full of people, that didn't work. So I said, well, let me see. We've got a 750 square foot place above the barn that needs renovation. So I did all the renovations myself.
Nice.
And turned it into a studio. So now, yeah, I basically work out of a barn.
That's pretty dope. So, I mean, you're pretty much getting up from your house and you're going to the barn. But on the way, you have to feed a bunch of things.
Well, I have luckily some help.
Yes, of course.
Can't do it on my own. But, yeah, I mean, it's far enough away from the house that it's very private.
Good.
And, you know, I close the barn doors, and there's a very large, like, do not knock on this door unless you, you know, one of those things.
One of those things, sure.
Yeah, I lock myself away.
Good.
And,
so are you becoming a hermit, or are you getting out? Are you going out to see things? Are you going out to dinner? Are you just staying within the house and the barn?
Honestly, I have had to... This is what I've learned about myself as an artist, which I did not know until I made Lost in Time, that you know how there are method actors?
Uh-huh.
Well, I have discovered I am a method director, and I did not know this.
All right, you need to explain to me method director, because I understand the idea of a method actor where you just throw yourself into the character, but now how does that translate into a method director? So lay it on me.
Throw it into the movie, become the movie, the movie is your reality.
So here's my question to you. So, I mean, you look at a lot of these actors who are like the method actors. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor, and like people who work with him are like, listen, they called cut you don't have to be Abraham Lincoln anymore. But right, he still continues it on, and he does it throughout the whole thing. And a lot of people are like, it's just unbearable. So, like, yeah, is it something that gets to you and, like, really, like, eats at you? Or is it just, does it lift you up?
This one has been extraordinarily tough because, and this is one of the reasons why I have had to and why I haven't done interviews and while I haven't been on social media a lot, and I have been quote unquote very, you know, slightly hermit
okay
style, is because, you know, I had to rewrite the movie in the edit.
Oof.
And let me explain that because it's quite an interesting story. So I went to Thailand to film 35 pages of the movie, which okay is, you know, 35 minutes. It's
yep
a pretty large amount of screen time.
It's huge.
And I was unable to get what I really needed in Thailand. Therefore, and I also was unable to shoot the ending that I wanted due to circumstances beyond my control.
Mm.
So I had to literally reformat the entire script within the edit. And that took a very long time. And as a writer, you know, if you think about it, method acting, you know, you become the character. And I understand it. I respect all forms of acting, but I definitely understand the method acting because sometimes it's hard to come in and out. Like when Hilary Swank did Boys Don't Cry, when Charlize Theron did Monster, they had to stay in that character because getting into a type of character like that, it's difficult.
Sure.
And the storyline of Lost in Time is very intense. So to go from, you know, editing footage of, because I have mixed narrative and documentary styles. So you can imagine, you know, I'm in the edit room and I'm, you know, like putting together footage of, you know, a tsunami, you know, destroying, you know, lives, and then, you know, walking in, oh, what's for dinner, baby? You know, like coming in and out of that is just too much for me emotionally. So I had to really immerse myself and just allow myself the amount of time I needed to get in there and just get that story out so that I could kind of return to my life in a way that, you know, I could be
yeah
completely present in it.
Because totally
it's, you know, it was quite a, because it's, you know, a lot of it is based on my experience of being in Thailand when the tsunami happened.
Right.
So I was dealing with my own sort of personal PTSD issues.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't really feel like going out to dinner with, you know, friends and going to see a show when, you know, you're kind of like
sure, totally
using your art to exercise your trauma.
Right. So
and heal.
When you were making this thing and were you able to talk to a lot of different people about, like, because I know, like, the movie, and it's a theme throughout a lot of your movies, which I really appreciate, like, the idea of, like, having a therapist and, like, being able to talk through things and being able to really get to the nitty-gritty of everything. Was your family kind of that therapy through the actual making of the film?
I wouldn't say that, no. I would say that, you know, filmmaking is a very collaborative process.
Yes.
And that's, you know, what I love about it. But something about this, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, and there was something about this film, and maybe because of the style and the way that I have made it, it has been a very solitude journey. And that has been very, very difficult, different, enlightening, empowering, and healing, like all of a mixture of everything in one.
Right.
So I think I was very fortunate with Jill Hennessy and Kate Gray, the two leads, who just really connected with the story, really got it, and a crew that really got it and got what I was doing. And so the actual production of it and shooting of it was that was a support system. And of course, you know, yeah, of course my family was there, but it was a very internal journey
right
of exercising, you know, really finding the truth of my voice again as an artist because I lost it, You know, I feel like, you know, not for over a decade have I really felt like I've made a piece of work that is truly representative of me and
right.
who I am. And so finding that voice again is a solitude process.
Definitely.
You know?
If you could pinpoint, I mean, it's very difficult to say, but if you could like pinpoint like what it is that you felt that you lost, you know, as far as being a filmmaker, and then
yes.
where did you gain it on making this
yes.
film? Like, where was that?
Well, I feel like I lost it because I started to compromise. And I lost that when I started working for networks in television, because it became about creating a product to sell, creating what audiences wanted to see, creating what networks wanted, creating emotions that I became a machine.
Mm.
And I got caught up into the idea of what everybody else thinks. What are people going to like this? Are people, and then I experienced something I've never experienced as a person or as an artist, and that's self-doubt. And so
it's crushing.
That is one of I've experienced a lot of intense, you know, things in my life, but self-doubt with your art is like it is just
yeah.
a horrifying experience.
It is, because then you're like at that point where you're doubting yourself. You're like, if I don't continue this, what am I going to do? Who am I? You're pretty
exactly.
much like you've broken yourself down to the bare minimum, and you're like you either rebuild into something else or try to restructure kind of that, like, you know, Mr. Whatever, putting it back together again to try to like make
yeah.
sense of it. I'm glad you brought it back together, because I love your work. And we're talking with Kat Brooks. You can check out the movie. The trailer's up. LostInTimeMovie.com, right?
Yep, that's it.
Beautiful. All right, so go on. You were going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that is what happened a year ago. Really, I was supposed to be completely done with the film.
Mm.
And I watched the cut. And it was like, okay, you know, I believe that this, you know, it's a sellable product, and I can be done with it now. And I'm sure all of my fans and all of, you know, the people who supported it and would be very happy to see it now and have it be ready. But it was at that point where I had to make that decision. Do I go ahead and do it now because everybody wants it now and
right.
expects it now? Or do I honor the integrity of myself as an artist and say, you know what, this isn't good enough.
Right.
This isn't truthful enough. This isn't authentic enough. I have to go back in myself. I have to do it alone. I have to rework it, because ultimately, you know, I'm the one that has to like sit and watch it. And I've never been proud of anything I've done.
Really?
You know, I've never.
Really?
Never.
I don't
know.
I find that hard to believe, because I feel like face to face you were proud of.
I don't think I was proud of it.
Okay.
I think I was, it wasn't a proud feeling.
Okay.
A pride feeling is more like, I wanted to be able to sit in a movie theater and not shift in my seat, because I knew that I had compromised that frame.
Gotcha.
Or I knew I had, because I was just like, God, you know, because there are days where I was like on my 16th hour working on a scene that, you know, I'm, you know, trying to get to the depth of or the authenticity of. And you just want to say, fuck it. I'm fucking tired. I don't want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And just, let's just use this take.
Yeah.
And then that year ago, that decision was like, it was just a moment where I found myself again, and I found my soul as an artist, because I said, I refuse. And I wrote it on my wall in my office. I refuse to compromise one frame of this film, because I do want to sit in there and I never want to shift in my seat. And it's not about an ego thing.
Right.
It's just about, I want to know that, you know, that I made something that was my voice
yeah.
and not, you know, something that I thought, oh, people will like this, and oh, it'll be produced you know, fast and, you know.
So is that where the year ago is where you started, like, okay, I'm going to break this down and start rewriting again? Is that where the rewrite started happening?
Yeah. And the rewrite happened in the edit, and I've never... So you know, it was a very... That's what I mean by the solitude experience, because, like, my last film, I probably had, you know, 15 people in my, on my post team.
Right.
And it's just been me. And, you know, I had to teach myself how to use Pro Tools. I had to teach myself how to music edit because I was in the process of writing, and I can't have an editor or a team of post people just sitting there while I'm figuring out, well, how am I going to blend, you know?
It's, they're looking to you for guidance, and you're just writing it. How could you give them guidance?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a very different process because as a director, I mean, it's your vision and then you're just expressing this is what I want and then you have people do it and then you say whether or not you like it. But I had to, you know, write it with picture. And ultimately, it was the right decision because I watch it and I'm like, okay, this is the movie that, you know, this is a movie that was in me that I needed to get out and that I didn't compromise.
Do you feel like this is that movie that you always wanted to do as far as like all your other movies in the past? This is the movie that you've been dying to get out for your whole life. I mean, it's hard to say because it happened, the tsunami, you were there and like you had a life before that, obviously. So like, but it became your life's journey in a way.
Yeah, in a way, because, I mean, it was 12 years ago, and I knew when I was there in Thailand, I was like, gosh, this is, I feel like, going to be a movie one day because it's too unbelievable, the things that have happened.
Totally.
And then, you know, I started writing it 2.5 years ago, I guess, you know, putting it into script form. And it's been, it's the movie because it's, you know how when... I mean, imagine you're like a poet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're a poet and you're sitting down. It's you're writing your poem, right?
Uh-huh.
And as you're writing your poem, the thing about filmmaking that's really tough is people are very opinionated when it comes to films, and they don't understand sometimes that there's a person behind that. And people are very free in giving their opinions about said film.
Sure.
And what I wanted to create was a poem. Like I wanted, like when you're writing a poem, you're not thinking, ooh, well, will someone understand that word? You know, oh, if I use that word, you know, complexity here, will people, you know, you just let it flow.
Right.
You let it come out.
And you let them figure it out because you've already figured it out.
Yeah. And I was always so self-conscious with everything I made, like, oh, are people going to get this? Are they going to understand it? And I think it was an insecurity in myself as an artist and a person of always feeling so kind of like odd and different that I just wanted to fit in. And I thought, well, if people like my work, then maybe they'll understand me or like me. And this was like, hey, look, this is who I am. If you don't like it, I don't care. And I've never felt that way before, and it's very empowering to feel that as an artist.
That's
that
really
you've
cool.
just created something that is your voice, and if people don't connect with it, it's not meant for them.
Right. So do you feel like going forward you will shed that kind of like I'm going to do this for other people and just work on the projects that like will focus on what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it always first has to come from I've always had this thing in me since I was a kid that I wanted to help other people. Like I wanted to be a shrink for a while. I don't like seeing people in pain. I'm very like, you know, I don't know. Like I just really have this thing in me that's always wanted to really, you know, help people.
Mm.
And so that's really a big theme of my work is like, I'm not just this self-absorbed person in a room, you know, like
sucking up all the oxygen.
It's like, but if I do it from my heart and I do it from my truth and my soul, then ultimately my hope is that it's going to help other people because I feel like everyone at some point in their life gets lost along the way.
I feel like art in general is a way of helping people, because it not only, like, you know, it can kind of clear their mind of their own personal problems, but it can also help understand what other people go through and be like, hey, I'm not the only one that's feeling like this, because they're going through that, or like, this is how they dealt with that. And I think that's what art truly is at the core. It's like a way of self-exploring personal issues that can help other people understand their own personal issues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My other question is, when is the release date? That's the first question.
Well, I have to really make a big decision about that, because I sent out the cut to a lot of different people, distributors, some bigger places as well. And
good luck.
The cool thing is that everybody would like it. What I need to figure out is the right home for it.
Sure.
Because I have found that, you know, I've been very lucky that my films have all gotten distribution, and that's been wonderful. But I really, right now, am working on trying to find the right fit. Mm. And so it's definitely going to be soon.
Good.
But I have to pick which one of these distributors is going to do the right thing with it and work with me to release it. Because sure. I want to be actually involved with the distribution process, because I feel like, you know, it's important, and it's my life's work, really.
Sure, it's your baby.
Know? Yeah, it's my baby. So I expect a summer release.
Good.
And I think it's going to be a pretty wide release. So,
well, when
so
you,
that's exciting.
Come to New York, we'll be here. So we'll have another little down memory lane, and we'll have a big go at it. And we'll all go see the movie, and we'll all love it. Are you going to go to any film festivals with it?
Well, I don't think so. I think we're going to do a theatrical with it.
Cool.
A major city theatrical. And then I'm also working with a major, like, online company, because I don't know if you've recognized this, but people just seem to, like, kind of watch movies on the internet now.
Yeah.
They stream. No one, I think, really buys DVDs much anymore.
No, it's kind of so dead market.
I'm going to do some, yeah, the plan is to do a theatrical, and then I'm working with a company to do, like, kind of a cool, interesting new online thing.
Cool. That sounds great.
Yeah.
When you get that geared up, let's talk about that, because that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fascinating and also very interactive. So I figured, since I'm kind of, you know, blending doc and narrative, which is pretty new, I might as well do, like, some distribution that's kind of fresh and new as well.
Yeah. That sounds really crazy. I really want to hear that when you get that ironed out. We'll talk about that.
I'll text you when we're done.
Yes, please do so. I have another question about the writing, because,
yeah.
I mean, stuff that you've done before has dealt with, like, a kind of, like, patient and therapist type stuff. Mm-hmm. When you were writing this one, because it seems like this one you really dug into more so than, like, anything you've ever done in the past. When mm-hmm. you're writing for when you're writing for someone who's been through a traumatic thing, like you have, and then you're also writing for the therapist who's helping said traumatic event, how do you separate those two things? Like, how do you write for both sides of that coin?
Well, that's a really good question, because that's part of, I think, what has made this a longer process than expected. Mm-hmm. Is I needed to step away. I took a 6-week break from it, because I wanted to make sure that, as a storyteller, that I wasn't sort of biased, or I wasn't playing things from the perspective, you know, of the patient who's going through the trauma, because it's also about this, you know, psychiatrist who has her own trauma. And it's, you know, it's really about, well, really, who's the patient here,
right.
You know?
Right.
And so that really helped to be able to step away and come back at it fresh to make sure that there was a really good balance between giving both characters an authenticity that was definitely needed to tell the story truthfully. but a lot of it is quite verbatim from my experience.
That's pretty wild.
That's
pretty cool, though. I mean, so do you feel like this was kind of like your therapy to get over, or at least get through the whole Thailand experience? Do you feel like now, like you're like, okay, I'm kind of clear of that. I feel okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, my PTSD from the experience was so bad that I was having PTSD induced seizures.
Oh, Jesus, Kat.
It was. I was also on 6 different medications because of it. And I'm happy to say that over the 2 years of making this film, I'm on no medications. I haven't had a seizure in 5 months.
Fantastic.
So it really is a testament that I always heard this and I was like, oh, that's kind of like, you know, hallmarky. But like, I think that when you create art out of the most authentic place, that it truly does heal. So yeah, it has healed that, and I am like PTSD free. And I never thought that it was possible, and
that's
I never
great.
Realized that the chronic anxiety and the depression and all of these kind of sub things that I was experiencing was all stemming from PTSD.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it'll do that to you. It's kind of like war, you know? It's like you went through something that was like almost life-ending for you, but for thousands and thousands of people went through it together. It's very crazy to think about that whole thing. And we're happy
absolutely.
That you made it out alive. Are you planning to go back? Do you think you want to do like a screening there or anything?
Absolutely. And it was, you know, it was pretty interesting to go back to the same island, you know, 10 years later that had since been rebuilt, and to film there where the wave actually hit, and to be, you know, taking a longboat to the, you know, same area where I was. And that was very therapeutic. And I definitely want to do a screening there and plan on it. Cause it's just, I've been to Thailand now 4 times, and it's just a place that is, although I experienced that trauma, it's also a place that is, you know,
close
I don't know, but I mean, that's destruction. You know, creation comes from destruction.
Right.
Healing comes from trauma. It's like...
How was the first time when you went back after? Was that tough?
How was it?
Yeah, how was it?
I feel, because, you know, I was in a position of directing and working with an actor, and it's almost like it forced me to have to keep myself together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And because ultimately I had to still film, she retraced my steps all the way from Bangkok to Koh Phi Phi, and I filmed it documentary style. And, you know, we shot it over 10 days. And
did any of that stuff make the film?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much all of it.
That's crazy.
That's why I reworked it in the edit, because I was like, screw it. I am absolutely blending this improv complete documentary style with all the narrative stuff that we shot in New Orleans. And it makes everything feel so much more real, which is what I love about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's really interesting.
So you're saying half the movie is documentary. So I'm assuming that you're in the documentary half.
No, when I say documentary, I mean like unscripted.
Right, right.
We had planned to go to Thailand with 2 actors.
Yep.
And those 2 actors had 37 pages of dialogue. One actor had to drop out last minute.
Mm.
I said, screw it. I'm taking the main actress, and we're going to just shoot it doc style, meaning we're going to start in Bangkok, and I'm following you all the way for 10 days. You're going to stay here. I had someone come with me that did all the coordination.
Nice.
I shot it myself. I did the sound myself.
So it was just you two.
And so that's,
it was just you two and your guide.
And 2 other people.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was 4 total. So we went from a crew of 60 to 4.
Holy crap.
And, you know, really created that documentary feeling of being like, you know, not like Kate and I would discuss, you know, what the intention of what we were doing that day, but it was really just me capturing the authenticity of what she was going through when I explained to her and set up the situation. So we used real people, you know, shot totally reality style where I wasn't jumping in and saying cut and this and that. And it just created a style that I haven't seen before. And I really wanted to make something original.
So the style
I was like, I'm going for it.
The style is kind of like this. I went through this event and I'm going to walk you through it step by step and then explain to you how I felt. And then they will pick up on that and kind of feel it, kind of empathy feel that as well. And then, and then you are just kind of like capturing that empathy of the of what you went through. So the the acting it was in part you, like kind of channeling your own feelings into an actor. So this is fascinating. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, just having her on the balcony. I remember before we shot, you know, the morning of and talking to her about waking up to hearing all these screams and just sort of setting up this whole scenario and then capturing that with the camera and just, I mean, it was just surreal and very authentic. And yeah, it was, it wasn't, it's like acting, but it's like, you know how sometimes I just feel like some actors, like they just channel.
Yeah.
They're not acting. They're just allowing this emotion to pass through. And Kate luckily had the ability to do that. I'm very blessed that, you know, I found her and it was her first movie.
That's
so,
pretty great. That's pretty great. My other question was, did you, were you in Louisiana when Katrina came through or were you in LA?
No, I was in LA.
You were in LA. Cause I felt like there was like, you know, like it's not that it's following you around, but you know, it's like, I couldn't remember if you were there or not. Cause I remember we talked about it, but like the idea that like you're just so happened to be part of two major events, even though you weren't there, I guess now, but your home state got, you know, succumbed to one of the worst disasters America's ever seen. And then you were in Thailand and you were a part of one of the worst disasters the world has ever seen. And here you are just trying to deal with it. Like, what is going on with you, Kat?
I must have had some karmic, like, payback that I had to do. Maybe. But I must be free of it now because all I do is, like, you know, make movies and sit on my boat in the pond.
That sounds very nice. I'm going to say the karma probably came with working with MTV. I'm just going to say it.
You went there.
I did. I've worked with MTV many a times. I can say it.
Say it, man.
That's fantastic. So long, lostintimemovie.com. There you can see what else is on the site. Because I was poking around. I saw the trailer on there. What else is on there that may interest people?
Well, I think if you click on the Vimeo link, I've got a lot of scenes up there.
Cool.
I also, you know, most of the film I did through crowdfunding. So all the backers of the movie, like I send them, like they got to watch the first 40 minutes of the movie. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the Vimeo channel, which is linked through the website.
That's
so
great.
I'm trying to, you know, put out as much cool stuff as I can before the actual release.
Right.
And
possibly in the summer, which I can't wait for.
Yes.
Very cool. So what's happening with the other movies? Cause I see a lot about, Loving Annabelle coming up here and there. Is that, still in tour and stuff like that?
Oh my God. Yeah. It just had its 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary.
Yeah. Jeez. 10 year anniversary.
It feels like that just came out.
I know, literally came out, no pun intended.
So, true.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's still doing its thing. It's it just had like a re-release. I know it's going back on Netflix. I think they just signed another deal for them, and so yeah, it's still doing its thing, and I'm doing a comedy next.
That's all I know.
No more dramas for me. I am doing an absolute comedy next.
I feel like you told me that, though, after you did Face to Face. You told
Shut
me
up,
you were going to.
I did not.
Yes, you did. I'm going to go back and find it because I'm sure you did. Because you were like, I've been around America and everyone's cried on my shoulder and now I just need to do a comedy.
And then I decide to do a movie about a like tsunami.
Something
and,
even more heavy.
No, I am doing... No, we are going to like put this in an archive because it's already started to be written by someone. So it's in the works.
Okay,
like,
good.
I'm doing a little female version of The Money Pit. Did you see that with Tom Hanks?
I did.
Kelly Long?
I did. That was a great movie. It was a great 80s movie. Classic 80s movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to do a reimagining of it, or are you going to kind of do your own thing about it?
Well, I have been writing down... I have had the most bizarre experiences moving to a farm in the middle of like the rural South. And so like, I mean, literally every day, like the weirdest, funniest, money pit-ish things happen, especially on this 5-acre place that was just kind of in shambles. And so I just was like, in Money Pit and Funny Farm, you know, with Chevy Chase, those are like two of my favorite movies.
They're two of one of the best. They're some of the best comedies out there in their prime. Tom Hanks, Chevy Chase in their prime.
And I knew I wanted to make it when my wife and I, because I got married.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't know that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's almost been 2 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
I got to meet the lady.
But we had just bought the farm and we're like pulling in and the neighbor comes out. And she's like, oh, you guys are my new neighbors. And we're like, yeah. And she's like, well, are y'all sisters? Oh, no, we're actually married. To each other? Like, you know, just like the things like you can't think of to write and like in like the most humorous way. So, yeah, I'm going to do like a Money Pit comedy.
That's pretty funny.
I'm down with that. From the drama.
Yeah, you should take a break from the drama.
Well, especially if I'm method, dude. I need to, like, laugh for, like, a couple years.
I can. If you're going to be a method director, which I think you might be the first, if you're going to be a method director, you really need to stagger these dramas because you're going to kill yourself.
Dude, that's why I'm going to do a comedy. And
I love it.
You know, maybe a documentary, like, mix it up a little bit. But
well,
no heavy
stuff.
I was supposed to do a whole, you know, I was set to do a horror film. And when I realized that I, you know, kind of have this method thing, I'm like, I can't deal with a horror film after doing a PTSD tsunami film. I'll be dead.
You would be dead. I would like to throw into the ring if there's any like bit parts for like two guys buffoons. Me and Giggles would love to come down and be like on set for a day, hanging out, being little bit part actors. We are there.
You have to. Oh, my God. That would be so much fun.
It would be fun. It would be total so much fun. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I was going to put you to work on the farm, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, as long as I get to ride horses and run around with the dogs, I'm down with that.
Absolutely.
And I get to go out on the boat.
Naked,
yeah.
You're good.
That's totally going to happen. 100%.
Bonfires and skinny dipping are a must on Friday night.
All right, I'm coming to Kat's house. I'm on my way. I'm done with the snow up here. I'm coming down to Louisiana. I'll be down there in the next flight.
I'll see you soon.
Sweet. One other question I had for you, because it's something that like it's in my mind constantly, and I assume that it is in yours, but maybe not. Hopefully not. But when you did the face-to-face movie, that was what, 2011, I believe?
Yeah.
When you shot that. So it was kind of before this whole thing, but it got me thinking of like, so you went around the entire country. You pretty much got down with like everyone in every little town. You were just like meeting up with everybody. When you were around, did you feel kind of that like growing that alt-right feel when you were kind of going around, or was it not quite there yet?
Was I doing what?
Were you did you feel that like, so Donald Trump gets elected, right? And it kind of has this kind of like in the middle of the country, kind of like those are the guys that are voting for Donald Trump. And it was kind of that like that alt-right kind of movement where like all these kind of like country, middle of the country people voted for him. Did you feel that growing as you were touring around the country? Because it was, you know, many years before it. So it was kind of like off the radar then.
No, because I was solely, like just pigeonholed on these people that I was meeting and the experience of, like...
It was all about just, love.
Yeah, that's what my bumper sticker says on my farm truck. It's all about
that.
Love.
I believe that.
No,
I wanted
really
to
try
a farm
truck,
really, too.
I was really pigeonholed just about, I really wanted to meet these people, and I really wasn't really paying attention to kind of what was going on around me, even though it was like 22,000 miles of traveling, so.
That's a lot of traveling. Oh,
I know.
Man. That is a lot of traveling.
I'm tired.
I believe it. We've had a lot of good guests on the show who have doing a lot of traveling. One girl who calls us a lot is on a seven-continent, seven-month tour. And she first drove around the country, and then she went down to Antarctica, and then she's over in Africa, and she's been giving us a lot of updates about where she is and stuff like that. I believe she's in Fiji right now, but it just makes me sit here and go, like, all these people are doing so many things, and I'm just sitting in a dirty, dusty radio station. I got to get out there, and I'm coming down to Kat's house. That's it.
You are s'mores Friday night, skinny dipping, and minnow hunting. So that you got to come Friday night.
I love it. That's right. Fantastic. Kat, always a pleasure. Let's
I love talking to you. Giggles. I giggly miss him.
I know. He's a sweetheart. He texted me this morning and was like, I got to do a photo shoot. I can't make the show. And I was like, come on. I was like, Kat's going to be so disappointed. But we had fun.
I love you. So it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We had fun.
I know.
But I really hope you get up to New York because, I mean, I haven't, I want to hang out with you and, like, see the movie if you get it playing somewhere.
I will be, listen, there is going to be a screening in New York, and I will let you know. You'll be one of the first to know. But trust me, I will be in New York sooner than you think.
Beautiful.
And I will be letting you know so we can see each other and you can be there.
Beautiful. Well, Kat, always a pleasure. And Giggles. Well, maybe. He's in Colorado now.
Well, Giggles needs to get his ass to New York for Lost in Time.
I know. He does. He will. I'll get him over here. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get him over here.
It is always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. And let's not make it this long in between. Let's make sure that your head is okay and that you, when you delve into a film, you're all right.
I am. My heart is mended.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Always love.
Always love. Well, it was good to talk to you. I'll talk to you soon. Go feed the horses because they probably need some hay.
I'm going skinny dipping.
All right. I'm coming down. I'll be there in a minute.
All right. Bye.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Mississippi Delta is shining like a national torch. I'm following the highway down the river to the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. I have reason to believe we both will be received in Graceland. She comes back to tell me she's gone. As if I didn't know that. As if I didn't know my own bed. As if I'd never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. She said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companions are ghosts in empty sockets, looking at ghosts in empty years. But I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. There's a girl in New York City. She calls herself the human trampoline. And sometimes when I'm falling, tumbling and turning in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing into Graceland. And I said, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody knows you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's a part of me that wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love and every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. All will be received in the land. Hey, 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 hey. Going to Graceland.
Shout out to Kat Brooks for coming on the show. Shout out to Giggles, who was left me high and dry. And we will see you all next week. Peace.
Idly hey.
Go home.
Doodly doo.